You are Peter, the rock on which I will build my church. This weekend, the Gospel of Matthew presents the Petrine text, the text of the institution of the papacy. Caesarea Philippi was a large rock dedicated to the Caesar, the king. And it was there that Christ stopped and asked the apostles, "Who do people say I am? The Son of Man, the new Adam." And they gave the Gallup opinion poll. Oh, well, some say you're John the Baptist come back. Others, well, 25% think you're like Elijah. And others say, well, similar to Jeremiah or one of the other minor prophets. But then our Lord turns and says, in the singular, but you, looking at Simon, who do you say I am? He had asked the group the various opinions. He wanted to know what they thought. Then he singles out one of them and says, "You, Simon, what do you think?" And Simon Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." I'm sure the other apostles thought, "Wow, where did that come from? We never thought of that answer." And then Jesus blesses him and says, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are a blessed man, blessed by God, not by your father. Your father's flesh and blood that you have could never have given this answer. You have been chosen by God. It's been revealed to you by my Father that you shall be the rock upon which I will build my church. Therefore, Simon, you have been chosen, selected from among the 12. And with this new office comes a new name. You shall no longer be called Simon, but your name is now Rock, Petros, or Peter in English. And my church shall be built upon this rock, you, and the gates of the underworld will never be able to break through. You shall have absolute authority. Here are the keys, the symbol of that authority. Loose and bind as you so will in serving me and God the Father." What a moment in the life of Simon Peter. Simon, the fisherman, son of Jonah, had been chosen, selected by God himself. From that moment on, we have always had a head in the church, the body of Christ. It was foretold or anticipated in the Old Testament. There were what they call vice regals or viceroys, prime ministers, we would say, of the earthly domains. In the first reading, we hear about Eliakim, who had authority to open and close the gates of God's citadel in Jerusalem. So it had been anticipated that God would have someone in authority here on earth to guide his church home to heaven. Christ is the head of his body, the church. He is in heaven, invisible to us. Therefore, we needed a visible head here to guide us, to help us, to instruct us, to lead us, to be always faithful to Christ and to the mandate given to the church. And Simon was the first chosen. We've had many popes since Simon, and today the key bearer is Pope Francis. Whoever receives this office, this Petri ministry, receives the keys of authority, and with that, the charism of infallibility. Doesn't mean we'll have a good pope, morally speaking. It doesn't mean we'll have a wise pope, politically speaking. But it does mean we shall have a pope who cannot err in faith and morals. And of the vast array of popes we've had over the last 2,000 years, not one, has ever contradicted another on the teachings of Christ, the commandments, morals, and doctrines. And so that's why we have a pope to lead us. And we pray that he might always be a holy father to guide us to the eternal Father in heaven. back in the 70s, I remember reading how some Protestants postulated the opinion that Peter had never gone to Rome, that this notion that Peter was the first pope of the Catholic Church is fictional, nonsensical, orchestrated by the Romans to claim him as their own. Very few people among the Protestants now hold that opinion. We've moved on since then. Archaeological science has made it absolutely clear that the tomb under St. Peter's Church in Rome is the tomb of Petrus, a man who was crucified upside down there, back in the mid-60s. We believe that was Simon Peter who went to Rome, inspired by God, as was Paul, to begin the Church's mission to the whole world by means of the Roman Empire. He was martyred there for the faith, as were many of the early popes. Another way we can dismiss this error of some Protestants and confused Catholics regarding the role of Simon Peter as first pope is to soak up the scriptures. Know your Acts of the Apostles, the acts and doings of the early church. Thumbs up for Peter, the first pope, the leader of the apostles. There's 4 points from the scriptures that we ought to know regarding him as our first pope. Firstly, in the scriptures, of the 12 apostles chosen by Christ, which name dominates over the others? Peter's name is mentioned over 190 times, more than all of the other names of the apostles accumulated. His name stands out, marked as unique among them. Furthermore, when the apostles are listed in the scriptures, whatever gospel, he's always in first place. So he's always first place, and his name is mentioned far more than all the others. A clear indication that he was the leader. Secondly, the church was born, publicly speaking, on Pentecost Sunday. Conceived from the womb, from the side of Christ, as the new Adam, it was made manifest on that 50th day. As the church comes forth from the upper room into the world, who leads the church? Who leads the apostles? Who preaches on that day and receives thousands into the church? Was it John, the beloved, the faithful one? Was it Matthew that wrote the first gospel, the converter of many Jews? No. It was Simon Peter, who preached and taught and baptized on that day as head of the church. As the church became manifest, he led manifestly in proclaiming the teachings of Christ. Third point. When Judas went to his fate, another disciple had to be chosen to fill the apostolic band, the number 12. Who conveyed that election? Who orchestrated and gathered the apostles and set forth on the voting? Simon Peter, leader of the apostolic band, the first pope, called that gathering, like the first conclave, to elect Matthias. Lastly, the major issue in the early church was how or do we let the non-Jews into the church? What do we do with them? Do we have them circumcised like the Jews? What means by which they should come in? It was Peter who baptized the first non-Jew, Cornelius. It was Peter in Jerusalem, that called the first council and proclaimed the teachings of the church. True, Bishop James, the Bishop of Jerusalem, was there and spoke as well. But he did not preside over the first council. It was Peter, the first pope. So there's 4 clear biblical arguments that we should know and use often to convince ourselves and others that the church we have today is the church based upon this Peter, this Simon, who became our rock upon which our church is built. We ought to be proud of this fact, historically speaking, and spiritually. pray for our own Pope today, the present successor of St. Peter, that he, like Peter, might always remain faithful to Christ.